Well, hello St Nick's. It's great to have you at our back to school Sunday service. I hope you're sitting comfortably, although not too comfortably, because in just a minute I'm going to get you to get up and go around your house to collect some things. On back to school Sunday, we think about the new school term and the autumn that lies ahead of us. Most of the children have already been back at school for a few days, so you'll have already started the new term. We're also thinking for adults, a little bit more widely, about getting back into some of the normal rhythms of life and the routines of work and so on. So what I want you to do is to go around your house and get a few things. Things that represent for you the new school term or your normal patterns of life. Things you wouldn't usually bring to church. Things like perhaps if you're at school, your school lunchbox or your school book bag, or your school jumper, or if you're an adult, perhaps things like your diary, or your laptop, or your work clothes. Go around your house, bring them back, put them in front of you. If you're a family, then maybe put them in a pile in the middle of the room, so you're not tempted to fiddle with them for the rest of the service, but around your house and get one, two, three things. So you ready? Pause the video, go. Okay, have you done it? What have you got? School clothes, lunchbox, laptop? Remember, if you're a family, put them in a pile in the middle of the room so that you're not tempted to fiddle with them. Let me show you what I've got. Well, firstly, I would have got my phone because it's got my diary on me, but I'm recording this on my phone. So instead, I've printed out my diary on these bits of paper. This is my diary, September, all the way through to Christmas. Secondly, I've got this. This is my organiser. It's got all my to-do lists and action lists for the term ahead and beyond. And then finally, I've got this. This is my rucksack. I've had this rucksack since I was a curate 18 years ago, just starting out as a vicar. It has had all sorts of books and Bibles and sermons and sandwiches and meeting notes and so on. It's had a lot of things through it over the last 18 years or so. So these things, they remind me of getting back to work and the term that is ahead. So, are you sitting comfortably? We're going to have our Bible reading now, which Clara has recorded for us.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. Jesus walks on the water. Then Jesus made his followers get into the boat. He told them to go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. Jesus stayed there to tell the people they could go home. After he said goodbye to them, he went alone up into the hills to pray. It was late and Jesus was there alone. By this time, the boat was already far away on the lake. The boat was having trouble because of the waves and the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus' followers were still in the boat. Jesus came to them. He was walking on the water. Then Jesus' followers saw him walking on the water. They were afraid. They said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them. He said, "Have courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if that is really you, then tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. He shouted, "Lord, save me!" Then Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. Jesus said, "Your faith is small. Why did you doubt?" After Peter and Jesus were in the boat, the wind became calm. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, thank you, Clara. What would you guess is the most common command in the Bible? Have a think. It's not for us to be more loving, although that's very important. It's not for us to believe or to have faith, although those two things are very important as well. What do you think is the most common command in the Bible? If you were with some other people at home, then have a guess just for a minute. Okay, let me tell you. The single command that occurs more than any other in the Bible is made up of three words. Don't be afraid. Did you get it? Don't be afraid. It's there in the reading that Clara just read to us. Jesus said to his disciples in the middle of the lake, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." I want to look at this Bible story under three headings. They all begin with F: faith, fear, and fix your eyes on Jesus. See if you can remember them as we go along. So firstly, the first F, what was it? Faith. The passage is called Jesus walking on the water. However, it's also about Peter walking on the water and then Peter sinking into the water. Now, do you think Peter is a good example for us here or a bad example? Some people say that Peter is a good example here. He shows us how much he loves and trusts Jesus. Some people say that Peter is a bad example here. He's overconfident, taking a foolish risk, stepping out onto the water. Perhaps he was trying to show off. Well, I think it's a bit of both. But I do think that Peter is a good example of someone growing in faith. Faith means trusting Jesus. And Peter was learning to trust Jesus. Even if ultimately Peter didn't have enough faith and he sinks, Peter did, to begin with, have enough faith to get out onto the water. The disciples were in the boat. The wind and the waves were against them. They were being tossed around by the storm and they see a figure walking towards them across the water and they're terrified. Who or what is this? And Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter has the faith to say, "Lord, if this is really you, then tell me to come to you on the water." Peter knows enough about Jesus to know that he can be trusted. And perhaps he can't be totally sure at this stage, but he takes the risk and in the middle of the storm, he climbs out of the boat and steps onto the water. Peter could surely have waited for a better time. If it had been me, I would have at least waited until the waves had died down a bit. I've never walked on the water, and I'm sure you haven't either. But I used to do a lot of water skiing, which feels a little bit like walking on the water. In fact, here's a picture of me water skiing. This may actually be the coolest photo of me ever in existence. I liked it so much that I once had it printed out and mounted specially, and I gave it to Ellen before we were married. She actually wasn't very impressed, and I've got it back. But do you see how smooth the water is when this picture was taken? That's what makes water skiing really easy, really good, is when the water is flat and calm. And if I'd have been Peter, I would have waited until the water was flat and calm before I tried water walking. I wouldn't have started in a storm. But Jesus is looking for followers who will trust him, not just in perfect conditions, but when it's difficult. A lot of people have said that coronavirus is a bit like a storm that has hit our world and our lives. We're all in different boats. Some of us are having a more difficult time than others. For some of us, it's been okay. For some, it's been really hard. But Jesus calls us to trust him, to have faith in him when the wind and the waves are against us. And that's what Peter does when he decides to step out of the boat. So the first F, faith. The second F, do you remember what it was? Fear. I said earlier that the most common command in the Bible is do not be afraid. Now partly this is because the Bible is full of ordinary people like you and me living through disturbing times who are naturally anxious and fearful. We're not great heroes of faith. We're weak and we're worried and we're easily frightened. And we have lots to be worried or fearful of at the moment as we live through coronavirus. Have a look at the pile of things I asked you to collect earlier. They're in front of you or in the middle of the room. There are some good things in front of you, I hope. We thank God for school and for work. But are there things here that remind you of some of your worries? Some of the things that you're fearful of? I've got here my organizer and my diary for the term ahead. You know, it's really hard being a vicar in the middle of coronavirus. There are so many difficult decisions for churches and this church ahead of us. As I look at these two things, there are many things that I'm anxious or afraid about. I wonder if there are any things in your pile that make you feel the same. You know, another reason for this common command, don't be afraid, is that throughout the Bible, God keeps scaring people and then asking him to do scary things for him. So he keeps having to say, don't be afraid of who I am or of what I'm about to ask you to do. We see exactly that in our reading. Jesus terrifies the disciples by walking across the water. He has to say, don't be afraid. And then he calls Peter to do this very scary thing. Come, he says. But fear often cancels out our faith. That's what happened to Peter. After a good beginning, his fear gets to him. We read, when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid. And Peter starts sinking. He sinks into his fear, and then he sinks into the waves. His fear cancels out his faith. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks around at the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink. And that brings me to the third F, for faith, fear. Thirdly, fix your eyes on Jesus. Have a look at this picture. Do you know what it is? It's the artist trying to paint what Peter would have seen as Jesus reached down into the water to pull him up and out. It's a Peter's eye view of Jesus pulling him out of the water. But you know, if only Peter had kept his eyes fixed on Jesus when he was walking on the water and not got distracted or disturbed by the wind and the waves, he would have made it. Jesus says, your faith is small. Why did you doubt? But even though Peter did fail in his water walking, even though his faith faltered, this was another opportunity for Peter to learn and to grow in faith. You know, in the Gospels, we read more about Peter's mistakes than any of the other disciples. He's always getting it wrong, and yet he kept growing. That's why in the book of Acts, we find Peter full of faith, boldly and courageously telling everyone the good news about Jesus. Even though he was persecuted for it, even though he was put in prison, and even though finally, one day, he was put to death for his faith. That's how much he learned to trust and to follow and to fix his eyes on Jesus. He started out like in our passage today, but he kept getting it wrong. He kept failing, but he kept growing. I've got one last picture here. It's a picture of a mountain. Can you guess which one? It's Mount Everest. On the 29th of May 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay became the first people in the world to climb to the top of Mount Everest. The first ones to the top. But in the years before that, Edmund Hillary had made several unsuccessful attempts. He tried and he'd failed. But one day he stood before Mount Everest and he shook his fist at it and he said, "I'll defeat you. I'll defeat you because you're as big as you're going to get, but I'm growing." Part of growing as a Christian is accepting that we will keep getting it wrong, that we're weak and we're worried and we're fearful followers of Jesus, just like Peter. We have to keep saying sorry and starting again. But Jesus picks us up. He pulls us out of the water. He tells us to fix our eyes on him, to trust him. And so, just like Peter, we keep going and we keep growing in the journey, the adventure of following Jesus. So I'm going to pray. And I'd like you to pray with your eyes open. And with your eyes open, I'd like you to look at the things in front of you that you collected from around your house that represent the term, the autumn ahead. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know that we are worried and afraid about many things. Help us to fix our eyes on you, even in difficult times. Help us, like Peter, to grow, to learn, to trust you. Amen. So we're going to listen to a song now. It's a song that we know from our online holiday club, if you were a part of that. It's a song about trusting Jesus. It's called My Lighthouse.